So we're recording, and this is Jean Campbell from jeansyogaforall.com, and I'm here today with Dawn Decker. Dawn runs, why don't you tell us, Dawn, about your business that you run?
Well, my massage practice is called Dawn Decker Bodywork, and then yoga right now is just sort of yoga. Mm-hmm. Dawn Decker, yoga with Dawn, or Dawn Decker yoga. Primarily yoga practice is some private yoga students, and then I'm teaching two classes at the Richmond Dance Studio. And that's Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 5:15.
Great.
But my yoga is sort of changing as far as my need to teach every day. I had a yoga studio in the Middlebury area. Uh-oh, click clack. This is Zen, my dog. in the Middlebury area, and so taught pretty much daily.
How long did you teach?
Well, the yoga studio was 10 years, a lovely little octagonal-shaped studio on the back of my log cabin, and it was just everything I ever wanted in a yoga studio. After teaching many years in cold libraries and school basements and, you know, church fellowship rooms and around the community. So it had lovely radiant floors and floor-to-ceiling windows and this beautiful surrounding of the woods. And it was small, 8 to 10 students was perfect. And it was a sort of a yoga for all, like, sounds like what you teach, that there were young people, and I had one woman in her 80s that came weekly, so there could be, one day we were, it was so exciting having kids in their teens. We had somebody in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s,
every decade.
Awesome,
in one class.
In one class,
nice.
Yeah, it was
nice.
Really fun.
So let's step back a little bit and talk about, I know before we started recording, you were telling me your yoga has changed. So let's sort of go way back and say, like, where was your first yoga class? What got you started with yoga?
Well, in New York City, and I think it was 1983. And I was there after college to pursue a singing, acting career. Broadway, you know, whatever I could get into. I was there in one day, got involved with a photographer who did my acting resume picture. All of a sudden, he sent me to modeling agencies, and 2 weeks later, I had my first job on Modern Bride magazine.
Wow.
And from there, I just, you know, did really well and was waiting tables for a while and transitioned, but basically became the top large size model in the country within a year. And after doing that 5-6 years and doing some theater and music and dance and continuing to pursue that, but the modeling was a kind of acting, I guess. I met a woman on the treadmill who happened to be an Alexander teacher and a yoga and a therapist, Jungian therapist, and one day she was hearing me and said, you know, really yoga would be really great for you, you know, just, I know how driven you are for exercise and how athletic you are with dance. And so between my roommate, who was a dancer, and this woman, they steered me to yoga, and it was very, I thought I was going to die, I was so bored. But afterwards I came away feeling, well, there was something there, I don't know what it was, but it was so slow and so nothing, I can believe, just focusing on your breath and just, and it was a pretty traditional, you know, big Sikh that was teaching.
Kundalini?
It was a Kundalini-ish based. Again, I knew nothing there, so it was interesting.
So that was your first taste of it, and then
it was
years.
And
then
went within the next year or so, I went away to some health spas and retreats and took a class here and there, and then I heard about Bikram yoga, and took with a teacher Bikram in Manhattan, and really learned that flow and liked that flow, just because it was very athletic. I liked the heat.
Yep.
I liked the sweat, and moved shortly after I started taking that to Vermont. having just graduated from massage school and met my son's father, who was my husband. And so all of a sudden, I'm in Middlebury, Vermont, out in the country, and my massage clients were asking me, oh, well, you do yoga. Can you teach? We need teachers. Mm-hmm. And so I just started teaching mm-hmm. with...
A Bikram style or more of a flow?
I like the 26 Bikram poses, mm-hmm. but who had a 90-degree, 102-degree room to teach them in? Mm-hmm. So I taught my own style right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And from there, went away and did some training, met Kripalu and Omega, mm-hmm. and with various masters. So I did study with Bikram at one point. I didn't do the full teacher training, but...
Mm-hmm. Who were some of your favorite teachers?
I enjoyed John Friend. I took with Bikram's wife also. She was a gentler form of Bikram. Mm-hmm.
Still hot yoga?
Yes, yes, still same style. I guess I'm trying to think of any other, I can't think of who some of the other teachers are right now. I love the Thai yoga training of mixing the yoga and the massage work. And I really enjoyed doing that for a short period because it just didn't feel so good on my body being on my knees mm-hmm. and lifting people and dead weights in your hands and wrists. It adds up after a while. Mm-hmm. So now I do more of that kind of work on the table mm-hmm. through my massage practice.
Neat. And let's see, you have shifted down in the amount of yoga you're teaching and up in the amount of massage you're doing. So what's made that evolution happen for you?
Well, it's probably not shift, the balance has shifted, but the massage practice is probably less than I was doing in Middlebury, just because I worked at a chiropractor's office, I worked at a PT, mm-hmm. I worked in two fitness centers, mm-hmm. as well as had my yoga studio. So I was just working all the time.
Yeah.
And then I had a home office where I saw massage clients. I occasionally had a private student now and then, but it didn't do much private work. Mm-hmm. My body still appreciates yoga, and it's been a gift for the last, I guess, 3 years now. It was 3 years ago this month that I closed my studio. I'd been renting my house and then using the studio and driving back and forth, and then finally sold my house. And then still was teaching in Middlebury, mm-hmm. One class a week. Mm-hmm. And then finally just said, okay, I can't do this commuting thing anymore. Mm-hmm. I still do commute there one day a week to see some private clients that I've seen for 27 years. Mm-hmm. But they're like my family. And we do yoga together. Polly and Robert are 86 and 88.
Nice.
Picture of health. Mm-hmm. And just shows what wonders yoga, massage, mindfulness, healthy eating, lifestyle, you know, what that can do for you. Mm-hmm. And so we have a dawn day on Thursdays where we
gather and do yoga together.
We do, and we have a lunch, and they're like my family, extended now. But it's been, not having a studio has been just sort of a relief because mm-hmm. there's, you know, responsibility with that. And mostly for me, my office here is just a great space for teaching one or two people. So that works out fine. But I enjoy not having the advertising and the
marketing.
All the promotion and the marketing and the computer work and the flyers mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. And always being ahead of the game or always being late on that. Mm-hmm. So I figure just trying to focus on the massage right now mm-hmm. has been nice. I mean, it's a challenging physical practice for my body, as mm-hmm. always. But it's been a gift to have that, of, you know, my partner Jim sort of has the real job. And
now you did just take on a couple of new classes up in Richmond here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how's that feel to sort of be doing it a little more again?
I miss teaching, and I really like teaching. And classes have been small, as I started right before Thanksgiving, so sort of a busy time to start. But a number of my massage clients that we do in my body work practice, there's yoga on the table, and afterwards I sort of give people homework pieces to do, whether it's breath work, meditation, or asanas, or flows that they can do to add to create health in their life. So I'm not sure about the classes here.
We'll see how it goes.
There's a piece of me that I use it so different in my own life now. I love teaching the one-on-one to really say, how are you today? What do you need? What do you need in your life? How can we, you know, what are you wanting to learn for relaxation, to learn for physical strength? I mean, I think it can do all of that, but I'm always curious to hear what somebody has to say and what their needs are, desires, and sort of working at that puzzle on how to, and again, same way in my body work, that people come, I ask them, what do you need? Who are you? How are you? You know.
So it's like when you, and I can sort of remember the same thing when I first started teaching, it was much more about the physical asana. And it sounds like it's evolving into just more of a whole body evaluation process for you, doing yoga and your body work with people, trying to sort of more stand back and not just get a good workout, but figure out how moving your body can help, how your spirit and your mind can be involved in it too. It seems, that seems to me to be a natural flow as we move on in our life journey.
Well, I think that, as well as feeling that my life is yoga, whether I'm doing downward dog every day or not, which I do do downward dog every day. Dawn does downward dog daily. Dawn Decker does downward dog daily.
Nice.
And it is one of my favorite poses. And it can be done by everyone in variations. And one of my favorite ways is just over on the counter, you know, bend and stretching, and gets your back, your shoulders, your calves, your legs, your chest, your arms. So, and my daily practice is, you know, is walking and being out in nature mostly. And then having, I guess, a short yoga flow stretch afterwards. So that's what I do personally, as well as, well, you know, always looking into other kinds of wellness things. I do a little qigong and a little laughter practice, and, you know, still always looking to take classes. Although with yoga, I've been, I used to take Diane's class weekly, and then that my day to Middlebury shifted to Thursdays, and so that doesn't work so perfectly for me. But I wanted community, I guess, is what I miss about teaching in a group, and hopefully that can be a little bit of what might happen at the Richmond Dance. To meet community, find community, meet friends. So definitely yoga can be just integrated life. I miss, we had a yoga book group, and that was great fun. It was, it started with the first book, with the book Life of Pi. That's now the movie and popular. But I read The Life of Pi when it was first out, and I thought, oh, what a great discussion for yoga people. And so we had a book group, and this group of very well-read women, I could barely keep up with them. I think there were six English teachers in the group, and everyone's retired. So I was always looking for the book on audio and trying to keep
caught up.
And they were just, I mean, these women read books per week, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And we always had a potluck, and it was wonderful, the support of not just women. The book group happened to be all women, but my son, who's now 25, took my class and still says, Mom, you're the best teacher, and brought a lot of his athletic buddies around, and the Middlebury football coach, who was now in his 70s, took for me for 20 years, and from a Middlebury College kind of preppy man, he became a clog-wearing, bearded, sailor-looking hippie.
So as we think about the sort of the transformational power of yoga, do you think that's what sort of led him through that, going from sort of staunch coach to more laid back?
Well, I think it's part of us all. It's just how we find it. And some people find it through football.
Football can be their yoga.
Right. Some people find it through devotional singing or through chant or through rock and roll. So it's just interesting right now. I don't feel like I'm opposed to yoga at all, but it just feels like the practice I had for years has just changed, as well as my body, and some things don't feel so good. After 28 years of massage practice, you know, I don't do a lot of planks. My wrists, I can do it, but it just doesn't feel good the next day. And just like I have to be mindful, not too much golf, not too much raking, not too much, you know, anything that involves that. No rock climbing.
There's some really good rock climbing around here.
We'll leave that to my son.
Have you found that, we have a very strong yoga community, I would say, here in Richmond. There's a lot of classes going on, a lot of teachers, a lot of enthusiastic students. How do you think that's helped our community, or, you know, do you think it's change the energy that we're putting out into the world in this community?
I never thought of that, Jean. Good question. I think Richmond is a very, still feeling new to Richmond, even though I've been here 5 years now. And I do. I think when people, you hear the word Richmond, you live in Richmond, oh, I love Richmond. Yeah, that's what everyone always says. Oh, the Round Church, oh, the bakery, oh, the, you know, the Monitor Barn, oh, NOFA, and, you know, there are a lot of great things happening here, as well as the land, the rivers, the athletics that it inspires, whether it's climbing on the Long Trail or biking. But that's probably true. A lot of people practicing, meditating. And one reason I decided not to teach here, too, is I felt it's saturated already. Not that there can't be more. Because everyone is drawn to the teacher, the style, the personality. I believe there's plenty of people to still touch through yoga, through massage. But yeah, that's a great idea that we're putting out good vibes.
So let's see, what else did I want to ask you? We talked about your regular practice. What are some of the things that you feel are benefits of that sort of incorporating into your daily routine, doing those downward dogs and going for walks with Zen and those kind of things? What does that do for you? What's happening internally?
Well, I've been challenged the last 6 months with some an ankle injury and an Achilles tendon injury, and so I've had to really be in my yoga zone, or I'd be crazy, because I like to move, and so it has brought me back to a different place of more sitting, less doing, and more saunas, meditation that way rather than the outside movement meditation. And I think as we age, we need to make those adaptations, whether it's from an injury or just this doesn't feel good anymore, or every time I do that, I realize, you know, my hip hurts. So listening to the body, I encourage that with my massage clients, my yoga students, that I think pain is a sign of imbalance, or it's not necessary. But some of us need more pain than others to get the message often.
Yes, yes. Until something really hurts.
Yeah, I still do. It's a challenge for me to be still and to sit. I often don't sit through the day until Jim pulls me to the couch and say, enough. But I like, it's, I mean, the gift of not having to teach. For years, I had to teach. I was a single mom. And I put my son, you know, through school, raising him with being in the healing business of massage and yoga. And we lived in a little cabin in the woods without electricity or running water. We had an outhouse, an outdoor shower. You know, it was pretty bare bones basic, but that was our yoga too. That was
running the house and,
well, and
doing
just
the chores.
Being really close to the earth. So, and it was, we had no technology, no TV, no computers, books, gas lights, candles. Of course, my son now is a technological genius and getting his PhD and, you know, mathematics and physics and doing all those things that require him sitting behind a computer. But what's wonderful about who he is now also is that he is this balanced person that also is very athletic, outdoorsy, nature, you know, people are important to him too. So it must have helped. And he went to every yoga workshop and retreat and class I taught. Because he had to. He didn't have childcare. He went along. And sometimes he participated at a young age. I remember his first workshop when he was 2 months old. My mom met us in Mill Valley, California, to bring him to me to nurse every 2 hours during the workshop.
When you were teaching the workshop,
That's Beryl Bender and Birch, I remember he was like 5 or 6 and did that whole workshop, the power yoga workshop with them. And they thought he was just, you know, amazing how he could sit there and listen and participate and not cause a scene.
That's pretty good for that age.
And he just moved to Seattle, and I think he took his mat and his meditation rug that he has. So, you know, when he was, as far as spiritual practice goes, you know, I sort of thought, uh-oh, I'm missing. I didn't do the church thing. Uh-oh, what have I done? So I panicked a bit and started looking around the Middlebury area to say, oh, where could we find something here? And we visited the Friends and the Unitarian Church, which I thought were a more liberal sort of approach. And I really loved the Unitarians and ended up going there with some regularity and becoming a member. But my son's like, this is not for me, Mom, especially in his 15, 16. Skiing is my meditation. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, how about some daily practice that you can think of, though? And his suggestion was 7:15 to 7:30 every morning we sit in the yoga studio, just meditation. So for 3 years, till he finished and went off to college, that was our spiritual practice.
That's beautiful.
So it was. And I would sit with him, because he's like, I was like, me sit too? Oh, no, not for 15 minutes. Quiet. Can I lay down? No, sitting.
But you found your groove together.
We did. We did. It was lovely. sort of like, well, being with somebody that you're so comfortable with, you know, you don't have to talk or chat.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I like that a lot. So
yoga did a world of good for him, whether he was aware of it or not.
Mm-hmm. You see it now.
Attending, yes. Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah, the long-term effects.
And he still stretches, does yoga, gets out his mat, I think, daily. And he's a big, avid skier and mm-hmm. climber and kayaker and all those things. And so, you know, he knows the benefits of stretching.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
As opposed to Jim, who has
not
learned
so much
to be touching his toes.
Mm-hmm. Will he do yoga with you?
In the courting years, he
yeah.
did.
Yeah. Not so much anymore.
No, he was afraid to hurt himself. He mm-hmm. was a big athlete, mm-hmm. you know, Vermont state champion runner for many years, mm-hmm. And big basketball player, and still avid whitewater kayaker and downhill skier, but had to give up running and basketball from repetitive injury. Mm-hmm. So he's afraid I'll hurt him by stretching him or massaging him.
Don't break it.
No. But when he gets injured, he can see its benefits when we do some on-the-table stretching and, you know, honey, a little bit of this would help after that kayaking mm-hmm. extravaganza.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now we go on trips that are often paddle-related, but I'll lead yoga on the beach before for the paddlers.
Mm-hmm.
And for spouses or wives or friends that come along that are not kayakers, I lead the other activities. We mm-hmm. do yoga, we swim and hike and bike and do other things.
Nice.
That don't involve drowning.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Not drowning is good. Oh. Well, thank you for talking with me today, Dawn.
Well, you're welcome.
I feel
like I'm going to ask you all these questions now. This has been a one-sided conversation.
Well, that's what interviewing is.
Oh, I guess so.
Next time you can interview me.
Don't forget laughter yoga. It's always a good...
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you have anything going on, or do you want to tell people about your studio? Or?
I guess if you would like to ever experience a yoga therapy session or do some private yoga, you could give me a call at 802-349-5404.
Do you have a website?
I do have a website. That is dawndecker.massagetherapy.com.
Okay.
I think. Oh, no, I don't know what it is. Hold on, Jean.
Okay.
Too many dots, not enough. Is there a dot or not? Now I have to get my glasses.
Here, I've got my glasses on. It's www.dawndecker.massagetherapy.com.
I got it right.
Yay.
Woo-hoo.
Phew.